Hey fans, welcome to episode 217 of the Double Dropkick Show. Recently, I had the opportunity to travel up to EWF in Far City, North Carolina with Boomer Payne. And we decided, hey, we should record our conversation. And we covered a lot of different topics. Had a great time. As always, Boomer Payne, the founder and purveyor of SOS Custom Tees, our great sponsor here at the Double Dropkick Show. Make sure you check them out, soscustomtees.com. If you go like their page on Facebook, they do a drawing every month for everyone that's liked their page, and they give away a great prize. Last month, Jason Blackburn won a signed picture from Billy Gunn. So you never know what you're going to win. And at the end of the year, we're going to take all the winners and have a grand prize winner who's going to get to spend an evening with the Sons of Steel, Bryce Anthony, Boomer Payne, and the hosts of the Double Dropkick Show, Heath Mulligan and Mark Wintman. Dinner would be on us. No stone will be left unturned. So here's my conversation on the road with Boomer Payne.
Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
We're live in two different places right now. That's how awesome we are.
How cool are we?
We are so cool. We made it rain today.
Cooler than the other side of the pillow.
So it is Heath Mulligan with Boomer Payne. And you're getting a little peek, if you're a fan of the Double Dropkick Show, you're getting a little peek. Or if you're a friend of Boomer Payne, Anthony Payne, whatever. You're getting a little peek into some filming we're doing. And so yeah, I'm just going to ask Boomer some questions. He has no idea what I'm going to ask
him. Good question. Coming through now.
I can't see that.
Put your glass on.
Hey, what's... Is that who I... No, that's not who I thought it is. Austin. I thought it was Janazzo. All right, so we're heading to EWF up in Far City, North Carolina. Are you allowed to talk about this kind of stuff?
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm the babyface assassin, but I know you have a reputation to uphold. Well, okay, so we're heading to DWF, Far City, North Carolina.
EWF or EWF?
E.
Oh,
what did I say?
DWF.
It's EWF. When did you first start wrestling for these guys?
About 3 years ago. Spot shows on and off, you know. They would run three or four shows in a row, and then they'd take a little hiatus.
But, right.
It used to be Hardcore Championship Wrestling years ago, and they never won.
But then last year they started running more consistently. They started running more consistently. So, and then you got the book. So, how's that like? What's that like? Or how did that come about?
They needed a little bit of organization. I'm not going to say anything that.
No, right.
You know, you need a little bit of organization. You need a little bit of structure and. I think that was lacking, and went to him and said, hey, look, what if we did this, and this? He said, take it over. And they challenged us by the end of the year to put 200 paying customers in the seats. And
right.
We came close by the end of the year, but we also had a cancellation in there
because
of the weather. So you can't book against Mother Nature.
Right.
And the last show, we exceeded that.
Yeah.
So we're rolling in the right direction.
So what was cool for me coming in as an outsider was I think October was my first introduction to EWF and didn't really know any, you know, storylines or whatever coming in. But it was clear you guys had a vision of this is what we're doing by Christmas. This is our Christmas climax,
right,
if you will. And
I love the climax.
Right. So, this may just sound like a silly question, but how gratifying is it to see your idea not just play out, but successfully? You guys do a great crowd, double cage matches in December, but how, did everything kind of come off like you were hoping for?
Not
guys who are just getting started. You have guys who have been in, you know, a couple of years, and then you do have, you know, you got veterans in there.
And nobody wants any. I mean, we're doing it with guys, the old guys, and nobody really wants the book.
And drawing.
Yeah.
Like, the, I mean, the crowds and the, but like, I said on Facebook the other day, to me, EWF is the place that is not getting the buzz that they should be getting. And, you know, I attend a lot of shows, and there's just, EWF has just been really good. Not just the size of the crowds, but the crowds are hot from start to finish. So, you know, starting, you know, coming into 2018, do you, I mean, are you again kind of thinking toward Christmas, or are you kind of breaking that down? We just, you know, just had the, you know, huge show, Bunkhouse Brawl, 250 plus, huge crowd. I mean, literally a sellout. No empty seats.
No empty seats.
What, how exciting was that?
That was real exciting. And yes, we do have our visions, you know, through Christmas, but we also want to book, you know, super shows, because we don't do pay-per-view.
Right.
Along the way. And you get a general idea of where you want to go, where that roller coaster ride is going to take you.
Right.
But things change every week. You know, we had a cancellation tonight.
Right.
And had to scramble and rewrite some stuff. But, you know, that's the nature of the business.
Right. But I think you're trying to really get across to guys, and I think you're going to do this tonight, that we have a plan. You could go work 100 different places, but here we got a plan to highlight you.
Right. Right. And we're taking the young guys that nobody's heard of, and we're trying to give them... Our main thing is we have to develop the young guys.
Yeah.
Because those are the guys that are going to carry you for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
And if you don't develop them, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. You're wasting their time. What do I know? I'm no expert. I haven't testified in court.
Well, you know, I wouldn't know anything about that. But so who are, you know, you mentioned the young guys, and, you know, we're doing this live and for later, but who, you know, who are some of the young guys that you're hoping to kind of maybe build on and hoping to help not just develop in the ring, but also help them develop a character and do something special with them?
I'm going to tell you right now, hands down, I'm really a big fan of Austin Bullock. I think the kid's going to be huge.
Yeah.
Very athletic. He reminds me of a young Jet Black.
Yeah.
And Jet Black's young, so what's that tell you?
Right.
The Fallen Angels, I think that, you know, given time, and I think that they did well when they worked Eric Anton and Chris Hammer.
Yes.
They stepped up to the plate, and they didn't hit a home run, but they didn't strike out either.
Right.
That's important, you know. And I still consider Jamie Lee's been around forever, but I still consider him a young guy, because he was young when I got here. Even though he's the one of the most athletic people I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Chase Lovelace, I think there's I think there's some potential with him. He needs some polishing, some fine tuning.
Right. And I feel like, I think we talked about this before, but so many times, like, guys, they're getting opportunities to wrestle in different places. But to me, it's got to be more than that. Like, obviously, wrestling makes you better, but it's having somebody critique you, having somebody say, "Hey, try this or try this," and I think that's something you guys are trying to do too. And I think the young guys here are wanting to listen. They're here because they want to learn.
Right, and you've got the Chris Hamrick seminar, and those guys take that every opportunity they have. So that means that they want to learn.
Yeah,
and Chris is probably one of the best workers when he wants to be. You know,
yeah.
On record saying when he wants to be.
Yeah.
And he's someone that I learned from still.
Yeah. He is so, like, he to me, when I'm watching him, he does not look like he has lost a step. And he's still
he's
just
lost hair, though.
This is true. But he so smooth and so crisp in the ring. Although I still don't understand after watching the Bunkhouse Brawl, which will be available on DVD at SOS Custom Tees, highly recommend it. I kept throwing out guys through the middle of the rope. I'm like, bro, you got to get them over the top. So I don't know if that was one too many chair shots from ECW or what, but
And he is getting up there in age. I mean, you know, his mind starts to slip a little bit. You forget where you're at sometimes.
So let's change gears. Battle Zone Wrestling, you guys started that, what, 2015, just announced first show April the 21st.
Correct.
2018, Simpsonville, a place that has really kind of become home base for you guys. Any plans you can share for what you guys have planned for Battle Zone?
Well, we don't have the entire card confirmed.
Right.
But the 75% of it is. Putting the card together, I was with Bryce yesterday.
Yeah.
We threw the card together. And it looks to be one of the best cards that we put on in Simpsonville.
Right.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
But I'm supposed to say that, right?
Right.
I can't say, oh, well, it's a crappy card. Well, it doesn't match up to
the last, you know, the last card you guys did in Simpsonville was, I mean, it got rave reviews. I mean, multiple, but just about every match on the card got really rave reviews, especially. I told somebody this, of all the matches I saw live, you know, the John Schuyler Michael Judas match had to be top three matches I saw live in South Carolina.
It was the top match I witnessed. It was from start to finish one of the best put together matches and executed matches that I witnessed in 2017.
Yeah, it was really, it was just so, you know, so good, and they, and you know, Schuyler plays the heel so well, and he's kind of become a mainstay for you guys. Any idea who, you know, you got BJ Hancock, your U.S. Heavyweight Champion, any idea who he's going to be defending against?
Can
you share that?
We do have that confirmed, Michael Judas.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
So Michael Judas and BJ Hancock, has that match ever happened?
It has.
Okay.
It has, and BJ left champion barely.
Uh-huh.
So it'll be interesting to see if Judas can corner him and get his hands on him.
For fans watching, obviously, you know, EWF runs every 2 weeks. You're booking that. In Battle Zone, you guys run 5 or 6 shows a year. What's the difference in, like, your booking philosophy between, like, booking a regular show and then booking what we would call, you know, spot show?
Right. So, spot shows, you just try to get the best matchups possible. You can put the best possible product out there.
Right.
When you're booking every 2 weeks, you have to continue the storyline.
Yeah.
And you have to make everything make sense.
Yeah.
So, a lot more thought goes into a more regular show.
Yeah.
Because you got to keep it fresh. You can't have the same old stuff over and over again. Spot shows are easy, though. You match up guys with who they work well with and put it out there. And, you know, and hopefully the fans eat it up and enjoy it and come back the next time you're in town.
Is it safe to say that with a spot show, you don't have to take as many risks, because you're booking two guys. I know these guys can have a good match, whereas every 2 weeks you might be bringing in a new guy and you don't know what he can do.
Right. Yeah, you really roll the dice sometimes. Sometimes it pays off, sometimes it doesn't. You know, you learn, and they all can't be zingers.
Every
match you put out there can't be a zinger, so you roll the dice, and sometimes things that you don't think are going to happen,
yeah,
and they get overused, and you're like, well, let's reconsider this. Maybe this is an avenue. Maybe we need to do a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, speaking of zingers, coming up in March is you guys are doing a roast of Bob Keller.
Reloaded.
So, you share with me, but, like, for a lot of people that don't know, Wrestle Roast has become a yearly thing, maybe even do two this year.
Right.
How did they, what was the kind of, how did that come about? And if someone's never heard of Wrestle Roast, what could they expect?
Expect the unexpected. Wrestle Roast was born about 2 years ago. Bob Keller and myself kind of kicking around the idea of doing something different. And you would be surprised at the guys in indie wrestling that love stand-up and are funny.
Right.
The days of telling old road stories, those are pretty much gone.
Right.
So guys have developed a sense of humor about them. So we threw it together and we said, hey, let's do Bob the first one and let's see how it goes. And it was a big hit, but it is very vulgar. It is very X-rated.
Leave the children at home.
Leave the children at home. But and this one's for a good cause. We're raising money for TJ Boss. You know, he got injured last month, and trying to help him out with some bills and stuff. So we always try to give back. We've never done one for profit. It's always been for charity.
Right. That's pretty cool. So who else? So, somebody who's coming, I know this time you're the roast master.
I am the roast master.
So, what can people expect? They come, I see the word, I can't even pronounce it. The dais. What is
D-A-I-S.
D-A-I-S.
The panel.
That's right.
Yes.
Can we please start using normal English words? But what, so, so what can people expect when they come?
Well, we've got Zane Riley, who is absolutely hilarious. I think anybody that's ever met Zane knows how funny he really is.
Yeah.
Brett Wolverton. Those that don't know how funny Brett is, he is probably one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. And Brett can come up with zingers on the fly.
Right.
But can take it to crack. And the one thing I love about Brett is he's like me. He'll crack a joke on himself before he'll crack a joke on somebody else.
Right.
So of course we've got the man of the hour, which would be Bob. We do have Bill Hazelwood making a first time appearance, and Stephen Fry making a first time
appearance. Oh my.
And actually we've got Bob's daughter Taylor.
Oh my.
This, and then we've got a couple special guests lined up.
Yeah.
I think this one's going to outdo all the other ones. And of course, I have to say that because if I said it wasn't going to be as good, then no one would show
up. It's going to be the greatest roast in the history of roasts.
It is. I mean, if you like to laugh and you like ball busting, for lack of a better term,
yeah,
this is right up your alley, but you cannot be easily offended.
And Mike, the cool thing for all of these is just if you're a wrestling fan, you really get a glimpse into the brotherhood of wrestling. Because to be able to dish out the kind of stuff that is going to be dished, you really kind of have to have a little bit of love and respect for the person you're dishing on. Unless you're the babyface assassin.
Then you shoot on everybody.
That's right.
But no, you only make fun of those. I mean, that's the
right.
You make fun of those the ones you love. And, I mean, you have to have thick skin to be in professional wrestling anyway.
Yes.
So it's not really that abstract of an idea for wrestlers to be stand-up comedians.
Right.
And everyone's got a different style. I never go for laughs. I go for said that.
Right.
I can't laugh at that because I'm not supposed to laugh at that, but man, that was funny.
Yes.
You know.
You go for the stuff that, like, when people step away to the restroom or get in the car, they take a minute, remember what you said, and laugh.
Right, when no one else is around.
Right.
Like, I don't want people to see that I'm laughing at that because that's horrible. Yeah, that's my brand. I absolutely love the fact that when I throw jokes out there and people are confused.
Right.
And you will see people actually Google searching
yes
the reference that I made, and you can see them laugh to themselves because they're like, oh, now I get it. It's funny.
Yeah, that's, you definitely have that a little bit deeper sense of, deep and dark sense of humor. Sure. So, all right. Let's. You mentioned you got to have thick skin.
Sure.
I think of guys like Ole Anderson and Bill Watts, and you know, guys who used to train people and break guys in. And you have to think, and I want to just get your opinion. Like, would a lot of guys trying to get into wrestling today make it through the first day? Back in the
days. No. No. Absolutely not. There's a, we're in the Tidepool generation now.
Right.
And, so, no, and I'm gonna say it wasn't as rough. It was rough when I broke in.
Right.
But it wasn't as rough as the generation before me.
Yeah.
And the generation before them was even rougher, so. I mean, you had to be tough back in the day. Now, anybody who pays a couple dollars to become a wrestler.
Yeah, like literally you could pay. Well, in South Carolina, you wouldn't have to pay anything. South Carolina, you just get a license and you can show up and try to work a match. If you, you know, were able to pull one over on somebody.
Well, that would say you can't work a worker.
No, that's right. That's right. So what year did you start in the business?
1995,
so 20 plus years in.
23 this year.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
10 surgeries, 9 concussions.
10 surgeries, two artificial knees, right?
No, just one.
Just one artificial knee?
Shoulder replacement, yeah. The whole kick. I've got more apparatuses than a Japanese prostitute.
So I think one of the
special, you can laugh at that. That one's all right.
So I think what we need to do is, as one of the special features on the DVD is, like, have your medical records and just have like your X-ray that just shows all the.
It was funny because I just had an X-ray done on my knee.
Yeah.
Last month, and you can see the screws in my. It's great. I was like, oh, well, at least they're still intact.
So, all right. So, when you got a knee replacement, because the doctors say, all right, you need to find something else to do.
They say that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But they are supposed to say that.
Right. No one in their right mind say, oh, yeah, getting a professional wrestling would be good for you.
Listen, if orthopedic surgeons were smart, they'd tell everybody to get into professional wrestling.
You're absolutely right.
I really believe that orthopedic surgeons are the ones funding all the youth sports leagues.
Could be.
Can you think about how many kids, like when I was a youth pastor, I had kids tearing their ACLs every year. I'd never even heard of an ACL.
Right, when we were growing up, we didn't know that an ACL existed.
Yeah, I remember Bernard King for the Knicks tore his ACL and like came back. And it was like, I can't believe this guy came back from an ACL. Now, like, you tear your ACL, who was, oh, it was, oh, dude, who's the cornerback for the Steelers? Rod?
Cornerback.
Or safety or whatever.
Yeah, Rod Woodson.
Rod Woodson tore his ACL beginning of the season, played in the Super Bowl.
Played in the Super Bowl. Which they lost. Why are you going to bring that up?
To the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, my grandmother's dead. You want to bring that up, too?
To the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, you got to let them win once in a while. They're like your little brother.
We haven't won since 1996. It's been 22 years. So, all right, look. Eagles, you know, we're recording this. It's the week after the Super Bowl. You're a Steelers fan. I'm a Cowboys fan. What we have in common is we hate the Eagles. Was this a depressing week for you as it was for me?
No.
It wasn't.
Anybody but the Patriots.
Anybody but the Patriots.
Anybody but the Patriots.
Now, did you see the dude? Did you see the dude cut a promo? What's the guy? He's one of the offensive linemen, dressed up like a mummer, and at the parade cuts this just amazing promo.
I did not.
got the what chant started?
See, I really could have cared less who won.
Right.
I mean, I didn't have a dog in the fight.
Right.
But I'm kind of glad that Philadelphia at least got one.
Right.
I mean, they've been in existence since, what, 1933?
Yeah.
And it only took them how many years?
It's been a long time. Well, I think they won some NFL championships, but they've never won a Super Bowl.
Okay, so the Super Bowl's been in existence since, what, 67?
52 years.
It took them 52 years. So, 52 years.
In 52 years, the Eagles have been to 3 Super Bowls. The Patriots have been to 10. The Patriots have won more Super Bowls than the Eagles have been
in. But the Patriots, you got to put an asterisk next to that. It's just like if you're going to put an asterisk next to Barry Bonds' name for home runs, you got to put an asterisk next to it because of all the scandals, everything that they've been through. They've been caught cheating. So why would you not put an asterisk next to it?
Did you hear that the Eagles did a fake Super Bowl walkthrough? Like, they completely did. Their Super Bowl walkthrough was completely fake. Like, it was nothing that they were going to do in the game, just in case the Patriots were filmed.
That's a good thing. You have to do it.
But I feel like the Patriots are like, hey, we're already the heels. Let's just, if we're going to be heels, let's be heels.
Right, but they're the heels that people are just tired of seeing.
They're getting go away.
Yeah, like... I think it's scripted anyway. I think the entire—it's all about revenue. It's all about how much money they get. I mean, the ratings are plummeting in the NFL.
Yeah, they didn't. To me, if it were scripted, Roger Goodell would not have gotten a contract extension.
Do you know what college Roger Goodell went to?
University of Pittsburgh.
No, close. Washington and Jefferson, which is in a suburb of Pittsburgh.
I think you told me that.
I didn't tell you that. You didn't even remember that. Listen, up a softball and
listen, I'm trying to, you give me so much to remember. I don't remember at all.
What can we look forward to on the new DDK show? That's what people really want to
know. All right, so if you're watching this live, so this week, Mark and I will be back in studio together, which is awesome, and we're actually going to finish out the second annual Ultimate Fantasy Wrestling Tournament. So this year is going to be great because I actually gave Mark the entire 64-man bracket so he could actually put some thought. I mean, I thought last year was great. I knew it was great when we got hate mail. Like from the first round, you know, AJ Styles beats Andre the Giant in the first round, hate mail. Junkyard Dog beats Kurt Angle in the first round, hate mail. Like, I knew it was awesome because, you know, we were booking it, and I think he's going to do, you know, it's even going to be even better this year. We're probably going to talk about Ronda Rousey because I know he watched the Royal Rumble. And who knows? I know we've got some... We got messed up by weather, so we haven't recorded in about a month. So we'll probably catch up.
What about the fantasy tag team tournament?
So the fantasy tag team tournament, that'll probably start in March. And we're looking at teams. Obviously, the Sons of Steel are going to be in there.
Yeah, we'll probably draw the Road Warriors first round.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, you beat who Bruce Mitchell called the greatest babyface tag team of all time in Jay Youngblood and
Ricky
Steamboat. And then you did get the Road Warriors in the second round. And, that's the luck of the draw. That's what makes us different than all the other podcasts. We don't book our favorites. We book it to, as if it were real. We book it as if it were a real deal, If it were...
I still think we could have taken it.
Listen, this wasn't caught on tape. I actually lobbied, and Mark just said, he had the pen, he had the pencil, and he made that final decision. So I'm hoping, we found out Mark, his work schedule lines up with EWF shows, so hoping he can be a part of some EWF shows, which would be awesome. It's always a really good, really fun trip coming up here. And, this is his kind of wrestling, Snotbo.
Explain exactly what is Snotbo.
bubble wrestling is like the 80s All Japan, two guys, it's just believable. Just that strong style. Okay, the most recent snot bubble was the deal with Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar. Snot bubble is when people are like, oh, are they, do they really not like each other? Are they, that when people have questioned, when you suspend your disbelief because of the physicality of it, that to me is snot bubble. It's not the flips, it's not the choreographed sequences. Snot bubble is, I don't like you, you don't like me, let's fight about it.
Right, but is there an art? Snot bubble wrestling.
I think, yeah, like I think some people stand, all right, so, because I was not a snot bubble wrestling fan until Mark taught me the ways of the snot bubble. And so, like, to me, like Stan Hansen, he is snot bubble. Bruiser Brody, he is snot bubble.
Yeah, but what's the art in going out there physically hurting your opponent?
But they're not physically hurting their opponent. I mean, but you think they are. I mean, of course, there's the whole thing with Vader's eye. But like when you can, but the art in the snot bubble is when you can make people think you're killing a guy and you're not. Whereas now, the guys are so weak, they actually have to kill the guy to make people think they're killing
him. I mean, I understand the difference. I don't know if people understand.
Listen, if people...
I mean, I do remember a time Bruiser Brody made Lex Luger jump up over the top of the cage and leave a match.
That's right. Yeah, that's... Yeah, that was not snot bubble. That was, I'm not going to disparage the great Bruiser Brody, but that was not snot bubble, or what I would consider. Now, snot bubble, that I think that goes back to the movie The Program, when the good linebacker, he's talking about snot bubble, and then he hits the guy, and the guy's sitting there, and snot, and he's breathing, and snot bubble's coming out of his nose. So Mark may have stolen that from, he may have indeed stolen that from a cultural thing, but he made it his own. That t-shirt's coming, by the way. It's not bubble wrestling.
It's a copyright.
Well, if I can start sending my emails out.
Are you guys down for the next week's whatever comic book movie kind of Black Panther?
So I'm going Thursday. I'm taking my kids Thursday night to see Black Panther. I mean, I go, if there's like a big movie coming out, I'll go on Thursday night. So I'll take my kids Thursday to see Black Panther, because Friday we're actually going to Georgia. I'm speaking at an event down there. So yeah, we're big into the Marvel movies. And Black, so the dude that's in Black Panther actually went to Tijuana High School. His cousin went to high school with me. And he's an incredible actor, played Jackie Robinson in the movie 42. I know you're not a big superhero movie guy, but they're huge, man.
You lost me at Black Panther.
See, that's what's cool is Marvel has been, like, DC can't even get like Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman right all the time. But like Marvel has taken these, like, not just B-level characters, but C-level characters and making millions and millions of dollars off of them. That's, like, to me, that's so similar. That's what wrestling has been unable to do recently. Like, WWE, only, like, the A-guys really draw money. But you gotta have, like, those, you know, you gotta have those lower-level guys that are able to captivate people. You gotta, you know, people need to, if people are only invested in your main event, that's, I don't think that's enough to make money. And Marvel, they're making a, you know, ton of money. Maybe Disney could buy the Double Drop King Show.
Why would they?
I mean, we would be happy to be one of their properties.
I mean, you would have, Mickey would play more, because he's the star. I kicked Goofy.
Mark is that Pete guy, the big blokey guy.
Hey, let me tell you, what do y'all do?
You know, he's not really a bad, he's a tweener. Pete is a tweener. And, yeah, I would definitely be Goofy. But, like,
I don't know. Babyface Assassin, I think you'd be. Ooh. I think you'd be Donald Duck disguised as Goofy.
Oh. Yeah, Donald Duck, man, he's a shooter.
Yeah, he is a shooter.
Oh, my goodness. That's what we need to do is book all the Disney characters in a feud.
That would be an interesting podcast.
We don't have it. Who would be the heel, though? Like, Scrooge McDuck can't be the heel in everything. I mean, Donald would turn.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it'd be Donald and Mickey. You could do the Mega Powers deal with them. Minnie's kind of caught in the middle, and they're wrestling somebody, and, you know, yeah. There's just a, but, yeah. Or no, it'd be Daisy. Wouldn't be Minnie, it'd be Daisy. We get caught in the middle, and what if I could do Donald Duck's voice, but say what Macho Man said, you had lust in your eyes. But say, oh. That would be a scare. I can't do Donald Duck, though.
And then Minnie gets pregnant.
And has a hand.
Mickey's blaming, you know, Pluto.
Pluto, you're supposed to be my friend. Come on.
And that old ECW angle, and then it turns out that it's Goofy, you know? And then Minnie says, oh, no, Mickey, it's Goofy.
All right, so let's talk about something super important, okay? Goofy is a dog and can talk. Pluto is a dog and cannot talk. Where's the logic in that? That's not logical booking, in my opinion.
Okay, so.
Or is Goofy not a dog?
He might not be a dog.
Because he doesn't have he doesn't have a long tail like Pluto, but I think he's like a coon hunting dog. I don't know.
There's dogs that can talk.
What? Yeah. What I'm saying is, why can't Pluto talk?
There's dogs that can't talk. There's guys that can work. There's guys that can't work. Guys that can look. Guys that can't
work. So here's the thing. You know who the best worker of all time is? It's Daffy Duck. Because Daffy tick everybody off, but you still pay to see Daffy.
Absolutely.
There's an art in that. And Daffy knew his role, because he knew at some point he was going to get shot in the head by Elmer Fudd, and his beak was going to be on the back of his head, and he was going to get made fun of, and he knew that's where the money was.
That's right.
You know anybody like that? Who knows that their money is in making the other guy look amazing?
You know, 23 years, and I'm still trying to figure out how to get over it.
So we're pulling into the Far City Armory. It's not too late. If you're watching this and you live in the Far City area, it's not too late to join us. And,
oh no, my VIP parking is gone.
Ridiculous. The ring truck parked in Boomer's spot.
I'm gonna have to, talk to my agent.
We'll be writing a strongly worded letter. All right, so long, everybody.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.